Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. So we're taking a little bit of a detour from Matthew. I know we usually like to try to finish a book, but I also understand and respect the fact that Matthew's a little longer and we've spent already a pretty decent amount of time on him. And it's something that's been on our hearts a little bit just because of kind of maybe what we've seen or what we talk about even here that you guys don't all get to hear, which is sometimes good and bad, you know, but today we're just going to have a TED talk, right? Just kind of is going to be us sharing our experiences in marriage, like what a Christian marriage looks like and what it means to be a wife, you know, in a Christian marriage, because there's a lot of controversy in regarding that. You know, and I know that all of us here, you know, we've been married for a bit of time now. You know, we're all in different stages of our marriages, and I know not every marriage is perfect and not everybody does it right, but I think it's important to share our experiences and what we've learned and what we're still learning, and you know, because it's an important thing for everybody to learn together, so that way we're also looking at what does God say, what does the Bible say about marriage, you know, about what our role as women are. And since we love going through the women of the Bible because it shows how God empowers a woman, you know, and so with that power, what is our role to the leader of the house, which is our spouses? So all that being said, it's the whole marriage is what brings us together today. And if you are younger than us,
if you were born in 2000,
look it up. Yeah.
Google it.
Look up the Princess Bride and your world will be fulfilled.
You're welcome.
That's the only movie you ever need to watch.
However,
this is the end of our podcast, and I'm joking.
Though I will say, my sister-in-law, not a fan. She's not a fan of the Princess Bride. I know.
How?
I don't know. I don't know how that's a thing.
I love that movie.
I love her, but I don't. I'm like,
I don't think my husband's ever seen it.
Oh.
And so then I talk like, oh, we need to watch it.
Date night is this week.
Anyway, just put on a list of things that we're talking about marriage. I feel like now there's one area you're failing in, Keisha.
But like, it's one of those. It's like, is it something I want to share with him? Or is it something I'm going to get angry because he's going to, like, make fun of it?
That's a good point. Maybe keep it for yourself. I know. That's a good point.
So maybe it's a girls' totally. Night.
Yeah, girls' night.
Right there.
We did just recently, my dad has never watched it. So my sister really? And I have talked about this, and I'm like, how do we know and love this movie, and dad's never seen it?
Yeah.
No clue.
Because, like, teenage years.
Yeah.
How did he miss that?
I don't.
Like, I got to work in the garage.
Right. Like, what was he doing that I see, that I've seen, that Emily and I have both seen this movie, and he has not? I don't get it.
He ran and hid somewhere while y'all were watching it.
He was probably in his room reading, like, I'm not watching whatever nonsense they're watching.
Because he was genuinely scared about it or something.
Well, probably, you know how it starts out with the love between Buttercup and
is this a kissing book?
That's exactly right.
He said yes, and your dad was out.
But he was a trooper. He sat and watched the whole thing. I still don't think he enjoyed it as much as Steven and I did. The boys even are like, they're total Fred Savage, but they don't come around by the end either. They're like, okay, it's done.
They're like, but there's an awesome sword scene.
That's all you got to get them to, right?
Yeah. Oh. It's actually quite disgusting probably how much I quote that movie on a weekly basis. Like, just last night we were watching a show and the girl kept using the word naive. And I'm like,
I do not think you understand.
Yeah. What you're saying. I don't think that word means what you think it means. And I ended up going to bed, Steve watched it. He goes, she definitely does not understand that word. He goes, we could make that like a game for how many times she said that out of context.
That's funny. Now I really want to go watch Princess Bride.
I know. We need to cut this short and
yeah. We'll be back. This is just a teaser, guys. This is
psych. Anyway. Yeah.
We'll go watch The Princess Bride and figure out about marriage.
Marriage. Same man and wife. We could go on. I'm not kidding. I could probably do the whole script by myself. It's to the point.
Jesus talks about marriage in No Joke.
Well, to be fair, I've actually had to own two DVDs of that movie because I wore the first one out.
I love true confessions over the princess.
Real life. I own two DVDs. Only one works. And we stream it now anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
It's true. Imagine if you couldn't stream it now.
It would not be good. It would not be good for my soul. It's like the Harry Potter. It's a comfort show. It's a comfort one.
Amen.
Other than your guys' favorite one, because I can't handle Umbridge. I can't do it.
I like. Goblet of Fire? No.
No, you like The Order of the Phoenix. Well, yeah, the book, you like The Order of the Phoenix. And I'm like, no.
Order of the Phoenix. That's right.
I can't watch that one because it literally stresses me out of how nasty she is. I can't do it.
It does, but then you have the whole secret Dumbledore's army and how they meet and they're practicing. That's what I like about it.
Okay.
So, but we're supposed to be talking about marriage. From Princess Bride to Harry Potter.
Jesus and Harry Potter and the Princess Bride.
Listen,
on the next podcast.
Now we need to talk about the Goonies.
Yes. Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. Okay, sorry.
Oh. That's Mylan's favorite.
I have not seen that yet. I need to share that.
That's a good one. They do cuss in that one, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
I forgot. And the kids were actually quite young when we watched that one. And I was like, whoops.
Well, and there's the whole, like, drowning laugh.
Oh, yeah. But that, my kids actually thought that was hilarious.
I don't know what my kids would think.
Actually, I think your kids would have quite enjoyed that part now.
Probably. That'd be Wayne. He'll be practicing.
Yeah,
that.
Right? Hey, Adley.
Millie Adley, save me. He hasn't figured that out yet. He's just still giving them everything.
Yeah.
Marriage.
And we're back.
If Wayne could if my youngest son continues, he would be a great husband.
Yes.
But he also might be very extremely manipulated. I'm not sure. I'm a little worried.
So the one thing I will say, and I know we all saw it, we were at the 4th of July parade, and all of us parents were standing on the sidewalk, and the kids were trying to kill us all by giving us heart attacks, by getting in the middle of the parade route on the road. But Wayne was the only boy, and he was the youngest besides Jasper. Jasper doesn't count. Jasper's three.
He's going to push everyone into the road.
Right, yeah. Jasper's going to be the instigator. I love him. But Wayne is out there making sure everybody stays back. Like, he's using his arms, like, I'll get that for you. You stay here.
To the girls.
To the girls.
Just but the girls.
He did it for Jasper, too. Like, did he? He was holding them back. Like, he put his hand on his, like, Wayne put his hand on Jasper's head, like, do not move. Stay here. And I'm like, that's good. To have that thought, though, at his age, it's impeccable. It's amazing. Because my kids don't have that, and my kids are older than
Well, the other Jackson, Bruce, and Mylon were all on, like, the other side, yeah, just trying to get as much candy as they could. Yeah.
And my Jackson was just sitting in a chair in the back, just waiting for his friend who was driving a tractor, or riding on a tractor, on a trailer of somebody's car. Truck, because obviously a car can't pull a trailer, but yeah, that's Jackson was just sitting, my Jackson was just sitting in the back with the adults until his friend went by.
It was fun.
That was a good time. All right. Yeah. So for real, it's like, again, so again, this is, y'all are seeing what we do when we talk. Like, we go on, like, we
random,
have the,
but it's the beauty of friendship, right?
It, like, is.
And of how we also continue to get to know each other. And it's also, I quite honestly, it's a microcosm about marriage too.
Yeah.
Because it's the way in which you interact with your friends is hopefully similar to the way in which you interact with your spouse, right?
Yeah.
That you have this level of comfort that you can be who you are, mm-hmm, and who God's created you to be, in the good and the bad and everything in between times. Yeah. With that person that he set out to be your life partner. You know what I mean? That person for you forever. So.
Yeah. You need to be able to have that friendship as well as that in your marriage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, there is a difference. I mean, I've seen some of the memes that say your husband shouldn't be your best friend. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. Because he's, yeah, the first person I call.
He's the one I'm most comfortable with.
Yeah.
The advice that I want.
I'm like, I don't have to worry about my toilets being clean or our house being clean before my husband shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, I do like to make sure that I don't look like I just rolled out of bed since working from home. Usually I still am in my, the clothes I woke up in sometimes. You know, he can always, I think he can probably always tell how busy of a day it is depending on if I'm still wearing what I wore to bed the night before. But I try really hard not to do that. But yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be the one that, he's like your safety blanket. Yeah. He's your comfort zone. You know, the one that if you're having a hard time or doing something, you want him to be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, and so I remember when Brian and I were going through, like, our premarital stuff with our pastor, right? And talking about, you know, all the different scriptures in the Bible that talk to us about thou shalt submit, or, you know, all those fun things. And the joke in our family, Brian and I, is he's like, that's my favorite verse, where it says the wife shall submit to the husband. I said, yep, don't forget the second part. And he goes, no, that's the only part that matters. Like, that's the joke in our house, but it's absolutely, like, he's the most servant-hearted, giving, like, brings me Chick-fil-A on nights where it's busy. You know, I mean, this, and, you know, the flower thing that everyone sees on Facebook all the time, and yep, all those things. Like, he jokes about that he likes that word submit, mm-hmm, as the key thing, but the truth is he is way more submissive than I am in those terms. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in the way in which we interact and love each other. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's pretty amazing to witness, since we got married a little bit later in life, obviously, all the things that I thought I always wanted came to fruition in a total way that I never expected. Obviously God's divine, mm-hmm, amazing plan, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how we knit together so I could find that very best friend that I'd been for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though sometimes I want to wring his neck, right? Even though sometimes I want to, like, what are you doing? Your snoring is crazy. Yeah. He might be snoring right now. But anyway. Get a long day. So, but, you know, even those little things that drive us as human beings crazy, yeah, I still can't imagine the journey without him, because it's, he's my dad. I mean, I married my father, so all those good things. But it's also because I watched my parents' marriage, even in their struggles and all that junk, and just be about honor each other even when they're upset with each other.
Yeah. Well, it works when we fill the roles that God has given us to fill in a marriage. You know, it's, you know, like you were saying, a woman's role is to submit to the husband. The husband's role is to love the woman as Christ loves the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a huge undergoing. You know, that's to put her first before all else.
Nope.
And we're supposed to tamper down this desire to lead and give it to him. But, you know, it's also, you know, that's a lot of what women have the biggest problem with, because it tells us to submit. We're supposed to, our husbands are supposed to lead in our home. Yep. But there's a difference between leading and dictating.
Amen.
My husband's favorite quote for me is, it's a movie called, how could I ever forget this movie? The Cowboy or The Next Cowboy or something Cowboy. Anyway, it's got Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall. And at the very end, Kevin Costner has this woman that he's interested in, that they're going to get married, but they've got to lead the cattle out. So he's coming back and she decides to ride with him. He's like, okay, just ride as far until you can't see the roofs of the town anymore. And she's like, okay. And then she just keeps going. He's like, well, I told you not to ride any farther. When you can't see the roofs, you need to go back. She's like, okay. And she keeps going. He goes, how is this going to work if you don't do what I say? And that's my husband's favorite thing to tell me. Like, I hate this movie.
If we take it back, right, to Genesis, and we, you know, we're talking about God quite literally crafting a woman for Adam, right? You know, and it's the, you know, this is, you know, the man said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, you know, for she was taken out of a man, and for this reason the man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become flesh. You know, it, he ends up, you know, through that, you know, it, the Bible basically describes a first marriage as, you know, Eve was created to be the helper for Adam. And, you know, even though she was created second, but God knew that Adam needed somebody, you know, with him to help him and to, you know, help guide and to be there. And, you know, and so the Hebrew meaning, and I know a lot of us have heard this before, because I think it's becoming more and more popular. And I think that's a great thing, you know, because there's a lot of miscommunication in regards to what a woman's role is in a Christian marriage, and the word submissive and what that entails, and how that can go to some extremes and not extreme enough, you know. And again, we live in a day and age where there is just an overabundance of information and not a lot of the wisdom to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, it wouldn't hurt for the world to start reading through Proverbs all over again. But in Hebrew, the word helper is ezer, which is, and I am reading this verbatim, but it's a noun that can also be translated as help or one who helps. So the root is azar, which means to help or support. Well, it's often associated with the idea of someone assisting another. The specific context of ezer is in Genesis 2:18, where God creates a helper for Adam. So again, it's interpreted as someone who is a suitable partner and equal, not necessarily a subordinate. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, like in the body of Christ, we all have a role, but we're all one body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of, all throughout the Bible. That's why I think it's important, and I fall short of this a lot, but to understand what the context of the words when it was originally written, you know, what was the Hebrew word used? What was the Greek word used? Why is this important? Because the different words for love, for heaven's sakes, are all throughout. There's different Greek words, different Hebrew words that mean different things.
Yeah, filio, ahava, I mean, all that, yeah. All those, yeah.
So many. You know, so if the word love can have that many different definitions, you know, then the word helper mm-hmm. is going to be the same, and it just depends on what context of which you're using it. I mean, and we can't say a gosh darn thing when it comes to words having different meanings. I mean, we have the English language right here that just is probably the hardest language on the planet to learn, because we have so many different theirs, so many different reasons to say.
Yeah.
It's just, we have just so many different little things that all mean the same thing.
And then we change the meanings of things too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why the word submit, probably when I was younger, really bugged me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now, as I have started, like you said, started to research and learn and grow in my faith and just in my knowledge of things, that word submit does not freak me out anymore. I know that that irritates some of my female friends. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, because it's not subservient submission. Mm-hmm. It's not that I am under him.
Yeah.
It's like a hierarchy. Because we're yoked together. Mm-hmm. And the only way that a yoke works is equality, right? Because it has to be on both shoulders. Mm-hmm. You don't find shirts with one yoke. You don't find a calf with half of the yoke for, you know, doing the farming. And I think it doesn't work that way. You have to have both sets for that to work, you know what I mean? So like, it has to be a partnership. It has to be coming together. And so when you submit, you're submitting to each other, but there are times when it's okay for us to go, not my thing, please, you do what the Lord's created you to do, man. Like, mm-hmm. go do this, go fix that. I don't know how to fix a toilet. I could do it, I can YouTube it, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, Brian and I were dating a couple weeks, and he just left my condo after a date night, and he was driving home, and my toilet started to overflow. And I'm like, I know how to turn off the valve. That's all I know how to do. Because my dad taught me that before, when he was there once. So I turn off the valve, and I call him up, and I'm like, because he calls me to say goodnight. And I was like, what do you know about toilets? And he goes, how to use them. And I was like, well, that's not what I'm asking. I said, do you know how to fix them? He's like, what happened? I told him. So he rushed right back over, you know, fix the toilet that night for me, that kind of thing. And it's not because a woman can't do that.
Right.
But he helped me when I didn't know how to do something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Happens to be the example of the toilet, which is the classic example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we look at things too. Men and women are vastly different. We just are. You know, there's certain things that we're better at, certain things that they're better at. I think a lot of times there's a lot of friction in marriage. And I think it all goes back to the original curse, the fall of man, you know. It says a woman will try to take control and the man will, you know, it's there. And I think we do fight over control and stuff. And a lot of times, I think as a woman, you know, we can share our thoughts. Like, no, I don't think it's just that way. But sometimes we just have to sit back and let them, you know.
Yeah,
because let them figure it out. And a lot of times for us women, it's keeping our mouths shut. You know,
I do not know of what you speak.
I don't think you understand that word.
Didn't say I do it well.
I wasn't talking about you. That's the one thing I will say. You know, Stephen is very, very, very good at being the first one to apologize and to even this is gonna hurt when he believes that I am incorrect, he'll let me have it. I don't know if that's actually ever been a thing. I don't think I've ever been incorrect.
Of course not.
But he's like, when I know that I'm right and I know that you're wrong, but I also know it doesn't matter, I just let you have it. And he goes, I know you do that for me too. And I'm going, I'm glad you think so.
I've got him fooled.
But really, he is. He's amazing at that. And he is really good about, you know, pointing out in a good way, you know, like, hey, maybe that's not your best choice. You know, that wasn't your best work there. You know, sometimes it's all about delivery. I am not too proud to admit that I have hung up on him before for him saying, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't say that. In a moment of me being frustrated, I was lost. Couldn't figure out where I was. I had the kids in the car. My maps was not making any sense. I was in a very populated area, a lot of roads, and I could not figure out how to turn around. And I feel like I'm heading back in the same direction. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm not too proud, again, to admit the words that were coming out of my mouth were not holy. Because I was extremely stressed out, and it freaks out, and because I'm on a toll road, so I'm like, how much money do I have to be able to get, how many tolls do I have to pay, like, I'm about to run out of cash, you know, and he's like, maybe you shouldn't say all of that with the kids in the car. I'm like, boop, end the call, because I don't need this kind of negativity right now. I'm not saying he wasn't right, but, you know, because he was right, I didn't need to do that. I needed to just kind of take a step back, but I was in the middle of a full-on mental breakdown trying to figure out how the heck to get out of this city, and I couldn't do it with somebody also telling
watch your mouth
watching me the yeah. You know, and how to do it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but again, he is very good at that, and I need that, you know. And you look at, we go back to the Proverbs 31 woman, right? That's kind of your biblical example of what a marriage should, like, what a wife does. Now, that woman is flat out Wonder Woman. I would love to see that woman in action, because I could learn a lot from that.
I kind of want to be her, but I kind of hate her too.
You know, I mean,
true.
But it's all that same thing where, though, she is all of this, but she lifts up her kids, she lifts up her husband, but yet he's also, what kind of man is he that you deserve a woman like that? Mm-hmm. So again, there's that correlation of she's submitting to him. She is doing all of these things for him, for their family, for, you know, their household, because of who he is and how he treats her and how he, you know, goes out and does everything for their family. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's a matter of making sure that, you know, again, some people are also unequally yoked, right? And so that being submissive and being a Christian wife looks different for mm-hmm. them, because their husband might not be telling them, you know, obviously, or leading them towards Christ. And so they have to take steps that as a spiritual head of the household that, you know, they might not be fully equipped for or feel mm-hmm. like they're fully equipped for, but they also know that their kids need to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a time and a place for everything, but there's always, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman had a man that deserved that, you know, mm-hmm. so you want to be that woman because your man is deserving of that. Yeah. And I fall short on Stephen all the time.
And I mean, I fall short with Brian all the time too, for sure. I always feel like he does way more for me than I do for him, and yes. He would say opposite, obviously, right? Like, because that's who he is and who God's created him to be in mm-hmm. in my life. But it's a beautiful constant reminder that you don't do this alone.
Yeah.
Unless you choose to or ignore, quite honestly, what God has shown you.
Mm-hmm.
Your world, you know, yeah. Like for a long time when I was single, for a long time, because I was 41 when I got married. I was like, gosh, Lord, is there anybody out there? But it's also because I wasn't ready to accept all those things. Like I said, that word submissive bugged me, this bugged me, you know, like that. And it's not because I didn't believe in marriage. I had a great example of marriage growing up. My parents survived a lot and worked through a lot, and they did it all in Jesus' name together, right? Like they worked hard. If marriage wasn't easy for them, they had three crazy daughters, you know, and all the things. But and that, so I had a great example. So it's definitely that I didn't, I mean, but I was not ready to receive what Brian gives me at those points in my life. And I also wasn't ready to be in the best context of the word submissive to my husband, and submissive to Christ too. Because that's the other part. Like there's also sometimes why marriages, and this is not a judgment, please don't, anyone who's listening, don't take it in that way, where marriages don't work because neither one is being submissive to Jesus. It's not a pinpoint on one or the other. It's because Jesus is not at the center of it. That's my belief is so sometimes why marriages don't work. Don't keep Jesus at the center of all your things.
No, I agree. Because I can tell the difference. Again, the times when I'm when the Holy Spirit tells me specifically what to do for Steve. And there's been times that I don't do it. And I get to deal with the repercussions of that decision. And it's never good. Obviously, we work through it and we do everything. We've been married. It'll be 20 years next month.
Crazy. You
know, it's ridiculous.
That's amazing.
You know, and we're in it for the long haul. And I told him if he dies, then I just... that's it for me. You know, I'm not doing anything else. I don't need anybody else. And, you know, he said the same thing. And it's for the same reason, except for he's more vocal about it. He is very good about sharing his feelings. I am not. But he, you know, he's like, nobody... He goes, it wouldn't be fair for me to marry anybody else after you if you die. Because all I'd be doing was comparing them to you. I'm like, you're right. You would. Because I'm amazing. You know? But in reality, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like if Steven ever died and I get remarried, then it would just be like, well, that's not what Steve did. Steve used to do this. How come you're not? You know, and that's not fair to anybody to come in to. And plus, I'll be honest, I don't have the energy to try to get into shape either. So there is also that as a full-on joke. But, you know, I mean, God gave me Steven. There's reasons, you know, he gave me Steven early. And I think God gave us each other at the time that we needed him. Like, Steve will tell you unabashedly that I am the reason that he stayed in church. Because when we got married, I was the one that's like, okay, it's Sunday. This is what we do. We go to church. You know, we moved to Florida after the first one or two weeks. I'm like, hey, we got to find a church. We have to find somewhere to go. You know, we're not just sitting around. We're not doing this. We're not falling apart. So, you know, we found a church and, you know, and I kept us in a church and we kept us like our kids were, you know, it was important for our kids to be baptized in the Lutheran churches. And so Mylon was baptized at a church that Amanda served at, Grace, and Jackson was baptized at Messiah Lutheran, which is where Leslie and I met, you know, and having the faith at the center in was, since the beginning for us, you know, I shortly after us dating when we became serious, which wasn't very long, you know, I started going to his church right away. You know, and I said Messiah. I meant Christ the King. Messiah was the one we got married in. You know, and you have that. Jesus wasn't always as prominent as he is now, but he was always there. You know, and the best thing for our marriage, too, and we've both preached this to about every newlywed that we meet, is to kind of... when we moved from Michigan to Florida and we just had each other, to rely on and nobody to go back to. So it's like, if he ticked me off or I ticked him off, it was a take a walk around the block because you got nowhere else to go. Yeah. We had friends in Florida, like Stephen had, some friends from college. We actually, for a while, we lived in the same apartment complex as they did, so if he had to blow off steam, he would just go over to their house or they would go out to eat or something, so that way he could get it out. He could just kind of detox if he was mad at me I could just, I would go for a walk or just kind of sit and read somewhere, I didn't have my dad's house, my mom's house, my sister's house to go to if he was taking me off to stay the night. I still had to come home and either share a bed with him or sleep on the couch, which I'm, again, not too proud to admit that I have slept on the couch before because I was ticked, and he has too.
Yep.
I'm not saying you have to move out of state from your family in order for your marriage to work, but I'm saying that to be able to separate sometimes from that comfort zone, from that safety net that is your parents' house or your sibling's house or something is important.
Well, yeah. And it calls us to leave father and mother and hold fast to his wife.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's mindset too, going in knowing that, okay, this is my person. This is it, and it's not that we don't make mistakes, not that we're not going to get angry at each other, not that we're going to get angry, one of us is going to get angry for little things that just seems to build, but knowing that you're in it for the long haul.
I told that to Steven because of the way I was, my parents weren't the best examples. They got divorced when I was a freshman in high school, so I knew what I didn't want my kids to have. I didn't want to have them go through that. It also does make sure that you understand that who you choose matters, that you're getting married for the reasons that are it's a your choice situation. It's not like you're forced into a situation. So I think I had that conversation with Steve. I'm like, I'm 100% going to marry you, but you need to understand that if we do this, I am, one of us is dying in order to get out of this marriage.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know that.
And if something happens and you cheat on me, it's going to be you.
Yeah, you'll be gone first. and I think it is. I think that's exactly it. That's that mindset of, it's not a, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll try again.
Yeah.
No, it's a, this is it. This is what we're doing. And, I think that's important.
And I think it comes down to our worldview is through Christ. It's Christ was there in our hearts beforehand. We got married, but we're married together, but we're serving Christ. Even like you said, it might not always be as prominent, but it was always there.
Yeah.
And that's what it calls us to do. It calls us to cling to each other. Because, I have similar background as you, Liz. My parents divorced when, at the end of my eighth grade year, I was 13. And, but me and my sister took things kind of the opposite. Mine was, when I marry, it's married, it's going to last. I'm not doing this divorce thing. And if something happens, it's because someone dies and it's probably going to be him.
Yep.
Because I will kill him. But, but my sister, she was a different way. It was always one foot in, one foot out.
Yeah.
It's I can always run if I need to.
Yeah. I think Marriage is one of those things that it is, it's a, not, there isn't a flat book that says this is what you, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, this is how this works and this is what doesn't work, because every marriage is going to be different because everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what Steve needs is different than what Brian needs and different than what Ben needs, and the way Steve communicates is different than the way Ben communicates or the way Brian communicates, you know. So that means that you have to adapt, like, how does, like, everybody has to be able to understand the language that your husband speaks, right?
Yep.
And understanding love languages and understanding, I mean, I know that's, some people make fun of that, but it's a real thing. And I think everybody has a little bit of every love language, like there's, but I think that there's more that you read more, like mine is definitely a little bit more acts of service, like I am more apt to pay attention to you to provide you that physical touch, you know, sitting next to you, holding your hand, talking to you, all the things that encompass a physical touch. You know, if you've shown me that you don't mind cleaning the dishes or doing the laundry without me having to ask.
Yeah.
You know.
Or have to pay for it later.
Right. With that. Yes. You know, I mean, it's... I think, because, but I mean, I also know that I'm not going to, it would be like when Steve brings me home a coffee, you know, without me having to ask for it, he's just like, I know you're having a hard day. Here's the coffee that I know you're going to like. I'm like, it's like, that's awesome. You know, so I'm like, I like gifts, but I'm not, you don't need to get me a gift. Like, I'm not a huge gifty person. I don't give them very often either, but
mm-hmm.
you know, that's his, like, that's, this is what he does. That's like, I'm a thinking of you, you know, and it, yep. I think, but it's a, I think so. I think all that to be said, you know, the love languages, I think that they're valid.
Uh-huh.
But I still think that there are just some, you just have to figure out which one is his top and which one isn't so much. Because we're going to mm-hmm. probably show it. We are, for sure. Not probably. We're going to show them, you know, love by a lot of times by the way that we feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah. The house being clean for me might feel like a love gift. But for Steve, it's like, yay, the house is clean. Good job. Now let's go do, you know, it's not the same. Like, he appreciates it, but it's not. It doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to being a kind of tuned with what the other one needs.
Yes.
And I think that kind of goes hand to, I remember not long after me and Ben got married. I think it was a movie came out, but it was based on the book called The Love Dare.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me always think, like, you know, especially that's something, not that I do this well, but especially the times when you're angry with your spouse, it's y'all have been together too much and there's tension and stuff. Sometimes it comes back to that act of service, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
figuring out what they care about, what they need, and giving it to them. Even though you do not feel like it.
Yep.
But a lot of times, by doing that, showing them that respect, they can turn around and show you that love that we need.
Yep.
We've
talked, Steve and I have talked about that, because it's like, sometimes when both of our cups empty, somebody has to take one for the team.
Mm-hmm.
To fill the other one's cup, so that way then your cup can be filled.
Yep.
And that's hard. That is so hard when your cup's empty to give somebody else something.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't want to fill their cup, but you're, you know, you always see those things that say, if you can't fill from an empty cup, like, no, you can't. But the problem is, if you care enough about that person, you're going to fill from your empty cup. So that way, in turn,
mm-hmm.
you, because you know that they're going to fill yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not all the time. It's taking turns. It's not like you shouldn't always be filling somebody else's cup.
Yeah.
Your spouse's cup. From an empty cup. You should not always be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a taking turns thing. It should be mutual. And Steven and I, it is. He, you know, there's times mm-hmm. when I know that he doesn't feel like it, but he's doing something for me. And that's vice versa. I just sometimes need to work on my attitude in which I am filling his cup, because sometimes it makes it worse.
Well, I think the act of filling the cup, too, kind of helps change your perspective on something. So just because as you start out, you're feeling one way towards your husband.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean once you get their cup full that you're feeling the same way.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, when we're talking about marriage and stuff, loves to quote Ephesians, but mm-hmm. also Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There was another little marriage thing that me and Ben did when we first got married, but it really grabbed my attention. It was called, I think it called it the love respect cycle, or the crazy cycle they called it too. But it's, if the woman's not feeling loved by her husband, she's not going to show the respect that he feels like he needs. Mm-hmm. And then he's not going to show love to her. And it gets, they call it the crazy cycle, you know, and that's when everything just falls apart. But if you can get back on the cycle of showing him the respect, even though you might not feel like he deserves it at that moment in time, that'll help turn his heart back to you.
Yep.
Well, it's a mutual respect and a mutual understanding of, like we were talking, like, these are your needs, these are my needs. Let's figure out how to help each other through those times. And again, like, the thing that Brian and I don't do well all the time, we try. We have really great moments and spurts of moments where we dig into a devotion together.
Yeah.
And do that kind of stuff. We're not great at it. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But it's definitely... you can tell when we're more intentional about bringing Jesus to the center, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. of our conversations, things like that. But yeah, we do need to be better. About
it. I think we all do. I know Steve and I have talked about doing that, making sure we're praying together. And it's hard. As close as Stephen and I are, prayer is such an intimate thing, and it's also an intimate thing that I am not good at. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at my prayer life. That is something I am really, really, really trying to work on now, because I feel like I know I'm supposed to work on that.
Yeah.
And the thought of even sharing that with even Steve, who's seen me mm-hmm. at my worst,
yeah,
you know, it's daunting a little bit, but I know we need to do that. But, you know, if we take it back a little bit to the submissive word, right? The word that none of us like as independent, working, strong women, you know, it's that whole being submissive to somebody, that is a vulnerable thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To know that allowing, like you said, you're submitting to his authority, but you also have to trust that his authority is going to be aligned with what God's authority is. You know, and sometimes being submissive is saying, okay, well, if he doesn't think that we should do this, then we're not going to do it. But sometimes it's his submitting to him is also talking it out to him, with him, like having that conversation, and then, or he's, you know, it's going to also earn his respect for you, because then he's going to come to you and say, well, what do you think? Because I respect what you have to say and what you're bringing to the table. You know, there are times to be submissive and there's times to speak up. And marriage is a give and take on all levels, you know, as far as when it's, In the end, this is the hardest lesson for me, even me, to learn a lot sometimes, but Stephen doesn't, I usually don't have a problem, but in the end, it is ultimately, he's the one who's going to answer to God for a lot more than I'm going to as a wife. Mm-hmm. You know, he has the weight of our entire family on his shoulders. I don't. I'm going to answer to God for what kind of wife I was to Steve. Right, I'm going to answer to God on how I submitted to that, how I raised my kids, the sins that I have. Stephen has to answer for our entire family. Mm-hmm. You know, and so he's judged a little harder on that. And so because of that, I need to submit to how he feels that our family needs to be run. Now, again, that's not saying that that's every man. That's not that's not saying that that's the right fit for everybody. Because, again, there are circumstances, like I mentioned before, when you're unequally yoked and you're not with a husband who submits to Christ or who has that relationship, that that is a harder thing to do. And that's something that you need the Holy Spirit's discernment.
I heard, and this has been a while, I couldn't tell you who it was, but talking about, you know, the being a submissive wife and stuff, it comes to a point when the husband's leading you into sin, that's a stop.
Yeah.
Because our ultimate go is to follow God in everything, in every aspect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who's leading you astray. Even the person you're supposed to, you know, be in partnership and submission with, if they're leading you astray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, we're not telling you that's a get out of jail free card. We're just saying that,
you know,
that there's, again, that's all discernment. That's not, that's not anything that.
And it comes down to you. Are you following God as well, you know?
Yeah.
Because you better believe that if you're in a Christian marriage and you're in, or even if you're the Christian in your marriage and you're trying to work for the better, that you are 100% underneath, going to be underneath a spiritual attack at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, if you're in a happy marriage and you're in a marriage and you guys are both working towards bringing people to Christ and doing things that Jesus wants and everything, that you're going to be under attack. Not constantly, but you're going to go through things. Steven and I have gone through things where it's like, holy smokes. You know, it's like everything he does or I do or anything, you're in your head and you're like just ticked off at each other. Cause, and it's like, you know what? It's coming to the point where this is feels intentional. So we're underneath a spiritual attack. And I mean, it might sound like a make-believe thing, but it's just not. And I know I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but it's prevalent. Well,
the devil is very real, and his ultimate go is to keep us from following God.
And if your marriage is honoring God, and you know, Stephen and Ben, you know, doing the Dig podcast, and us doing this and working in ministry, we're all changing the world for a better place on whatever level that, you know, we have. And so even minor, that's not anything that the darkness wants us to do. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure that we're not in the right mindset to do it. So I feel like sometimes our podcast days are some of the most worst mentally days that I have. It's because I'm like, that means we're supposed to do this. You know, because everything in me is going, okay, I'm just going to text him and say, you know, we're not ready. Let's just wait a couple of weeks. We'll just push it off. It's no big deal. And it's like, you know what, maybe, there are days that obviously, you know, that I've said that we've all said that, like, we just can't. And that's fine. You know, but then sometimes I have to step back and say, is that me? Is that Satan? Is that God? Is that, what is this? Is this God saying, there's some things I need you to learn still, so why don't you hold off? Or is this Satan saying, no, you're going to touch somebody today, and I'm just going to do everything I can to make sure you can't?
Yeah.
You know, with your marriage, you know, we always talk about sharing Jesus, and sometimes you're the only person, you know, you're the only Jesus people are going to see, and sometimes your marriage is the only godly marriage somebody's going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody might need that example of how you are in church. Like, if your husband puts his arm around you during church, if he stands next to you, talks to you the way he talks to you, holds your hand, stuff, like, you know, it's all about how they treat you and how you treat them back.
Yeah, this past Sunday, Brian, it's funny because since I'm the worship director at church, you know, I was wrangle him into ushering or doing something like that, you know, when he's not on and all that kind of stuff. But this Sunday I was like, I'm singing in the band. I'm not going to make you do anything. And one of the elders came up to him and asked him to serve. And I was like, it wasn't me. I didn't send him. And Brian's like, I tried to hide from everybody today. But then again, of course, what does he do? He says, yes, I'll like, we're doing this like family photo booth during the summer just so we can get pictures of all the families at church, because our theme for the summer is together in Christ, you know, and stuff like that. And I had to go to practice for the worship team. And I was like, honey, will you just print these two pictures? That's all you have to do. I'll come out and put them out later, like make the little thing up. And I said, but just print them for me so that they're done when I come back out later. He goes, sure. And I come back out and he's taking like pictures of like four more families. And he's trying to, like, you know, those little photo tabs you put on the back of pictures to stick them on paper. He's trying to do that with his big old fingers. And I was like, yeah. So, because he just gets that's part of my job and he wants to help. Like,
yeah.
And that's just it's just what you do for each other.
Yeah.
Like, if I could go to his job and help him, I can't because it's a prison. But
you went but to his job to be a full different reason.
It's a whole, yeah, I'd be there for a lot. I mean, that whole killing thing. Anyway.
And then he wouldn't be there anyway, so.
But I mean, like, I wish that I could sometimes, because I just see what he does for me, mm-hmm. You know, and it's also his church. So it's, you know, it's that always that little blurry line, but
yeah.
It's that's I think sometimes why I strive to do other things for him, right? Like that are in the norm or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's such a blessing to have a teammate,
yes,
friend, lover who just wants to do all the things you do and just, but also to glorify God.
Yes.
So it's the best blessing in the world.
Yeah, the one that respects you, your decisions, the things that you do, even though they don't want to do them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Stephen respects the fact that sometimes I just want to sit in our room and read a book, and not be in the living room trying to read a book while they're watching TV or talking.
Or wrestling.
My boys don't really wrestle so much. They yell at each other, hit each other, and then somebody comes and tattles. That's pretty much my life.
I mean, as long as there's a good cycle of it, so.
Yep. And that's usually when I'm taking them off of their electronic devices. Then all of a sudden they realize they need to get the energy out. And that's ends up physical. But they don't wrestle.
Whole other thing.
Yeah. So I think the moral of the story, you know, of our little, we called it marriage unscripted, you know, talk today is that all of our marriages look different. You know, we're all in different stages. Nobody's marriage is going to look the same. Like, whether we have a good biblical example of a marriage within our parents, or for me, I guess it's my grandparents, you know, but I have my dad's mom and dad were married. They got married later in life. But they had two kids, but their my grandmother was extremely submissive to a point where I actually, my grandmother surpassed me in a lot of things. And my goal is to always be her. And I've said that before, but you know, she did things for my grandpa that I'd look at Steve and say, no, you can do that. You're a big boy. You can do that.
Yeah. You've got 2 feet.
Yeah. You know, but there is also the time of showing love, but there's also, I don't think my grandfather, and I loved my grandpa, but I don't think he had the same kind of respect for my grandma as she had for him. And that was, again, in an era of which women.
Different.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But my grandmother was a working woman. She worked. She was an OT. Like, she wasn't, she flat out, she'll tell you, she goes, I heard God tell me that I'm not supposed to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, that's not what he has for me. She goes, no matter how much I wanted to, but she said it wasn't, I knew God told me flat out that's not what it was meant for me. So she tried to blend all of that. And I think sometimes it's hard. because my grandfather probably anticipated her. I never had that conversation with him. I'm just making an assumption just based on observations that I had growing up. But even my grandmother on the other side, my grandma and grandpa, that was their, each of them, that was their second marriage, but their marriage was amazing. You know, you knew that they were meant to be together, and the mutual love and respect that they had. And so, you know, but again, my grandma Pat was a lot more headstrong than my grandma Jean was. You know, my grandma Pat has no problems, you know. And I know she's submissive in ways, but I also know she came from a very unhealthy first marriage. And so I think that bled into a little bit how she went into her second. So I think her submissive, she was submissive in the ways that I think she needed to be, but I think she was a little bit probably more like her, you know, on that, because I'm a little more vocal. But again, I also know my grandpa Fred would have never asked my grandmother to do anything that didn't honor God.
Yeah.
You know, she is still like a very devout Catholic. You know, and they were both that they met at a Catholic singles thing, you know. So whether you have it as your parents or a grandparent or friends or close friends, you know, the marriages that you have, you got to understand too. And now, as all three of us now are at an age where we are the marriages that people younger than us are looking at, you know, saying, I want a marriage like theirs, or I like how they communicate, or I know I want to communicate better than them, you know. I mean, and that's something to be mindful of. You know, I talk about that in the women's ministry a lot, about the Lisa Brevere book, The Godmothers, you know. And I love that book, and I know this, everybody's like, well, she just went on a really weird turn, but it make, because Lisa Brevere talks about how she didn't have that right growing up, and she wanted a mother figure, a mother in Christ, right, somebody that could guide her, help her throughout all of this. And you know, she didn't have that, so she became it, right? So the you know, people that don't have that sometimes, and that's what you end up becoming, is that example for others.
Yeah, they find a way. Yeah. Find that example, or they find that friend, or the Lord sends someone into their life,
mm-hmm.
Or gives them the thing to read, or that inspiration that's the word I'm looking for. Disseminate, like figure it out, you know, what it is that you're looking for, and then how to get it.
Yeah, and I think that that's important. It's important for us to remember, not trying to like say like we're amazing, everybody should look at us and our marriages and see how to work, but no, but because I'm honest about it, if I'm ticked at Stephen, and I need to talk it out before people, like Keisha knows. You know, I'll text you guys like, hey, you know. And again, that's what your circle is for, to say, I'll pray for you, and you might be a little crazy, but I understand where you're coming from, you know.
I think that was my role last week.
That's a role that we all play.
Am I crazy, Liz?
And I said, no. But here's some ways to, you know. And
but it's also how he gives you the circles that you have, the friends, not just your spouse, but the friends that he gives mm-hmm. you, so that when you do have those struggles with not knowing how to handle the situation, with the person who you are yoked with and like caring for and love, even if you don't love their behavior at that moment, or that thing they said, or that thing you did to them, or whatever the thing is, there's a way to get that advice from other good people, mm-hmm. that, well, like we say, that think alike, and we can work through it, right?
Yeah. And it's not, this is not like saying have a bash your husband evening. That's not that's for. This is what happened. What can I do? Like, tell me where I'm at. Like, he's driving me nuts. You know, because I look at it from the perspective of, I don't want Stephen calling up Ben or Juan or Jacob and saying, my wife is crazy, and let me tell you why. You know, I don't want that. But I also know that he needs somebody to be able to go to and say, listen, you know, I need some advice because this is where Liz is and this is where I'm at and we're not in the same spot and I need to figure out how to get there. And I can do that. Like, I can call, you know, you both up and say, this is where I am. This is what he's done. This is where my head is saying we should be. How do I?
Yeah.
Not saying who's right, who's wrong. But you need that somebody sometimes just to say, I get it, you know, and listen to you. Because by the time you end up, half the time, like last week, half the time, by the time you get it all out, you realize what you actually need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just calms you down.
It does.
Just got to get it off your chest.
But you need to do it in a safe place mm-hmm. when you know that somebody who also loves Jesus is listening.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's also about, you know, like the women's Bible study I go to on Mondays and Tuesday nights, depending on which night of the week you meet. it changes a little bit here and there, but based on schedule and life. But anyway, all like encouraging women who, I mean, love their husbands with mm-hmm. all their might, but want to wring their neck sometimes, or want, yeah. or and vice versa, the husband wants to wring their neck sometimes. And so the circle of friends that we're blessed to have also encourage us in the journey, but also give us that place and that space to go, with not just marriage but life situations, right? You know, mm-hmm. how do I work together in your name, Lord, to on this journey of life and with my partner, with my husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this whole thing isn't just to say that we all have it figured out, because we don't have it figured out. And our whole goal here was just to make sure, just to be real, to sit here. This isn't one, obviously, this doesn't take research. This doesn't take us looking. It takes us looking in the Bible. You know, you bring it back to Proverbs 31. You look at Corinthians. You look at Genesis. Like, what does God say about marriages? What did Jesus say about marriages? Where is that reflected? You know, and so this is just mainly about us showing you kind of what a Christian marriage looks like to us and kind of how we interpret what the Bible has given us and how that just translates into our marriage.
Amen.
We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.